You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
If you're new, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. And we've got a gift for you. So straight after the service, go out the double black doors down the back, and we have a team of people waiting to bless you with a gift to just say thanks for coming. But more on that later on. Pastor Jed will be back, and Pastor Sean will be back as well, and they'll talk to you about that later on. But we're going off topic today. Yeah, I was hoping for a bit more excitement about that. Y'all want me to stick in that finance sermon series, I get that, that's good. But we're going off topic today, okay? And see, most weeks of the year here at Eternity, we preach in sermon series and groupings of a few weeks, and I tend to stick to the same general topic, and sometimes I go off topic, though, right in the middle of a sermon series, because I'm only going to admit this once, right? I'm a tiny, teeny, weeny little bit ADD, you know? And when I see a squirrel, I need to tell you about the squirrel, okay? And this week, I saw a squirrel, all right? And so I'm going to tell you about the squirrel this week. So we're going off topic, and I want to talk to you about the ram in the thicket, all right? So act like you know what you're talking about. Touch your neighbor and say, there's always a ram in the thicket. All right, good. A lot of people acted like they knew what they were talking about just then. That's fantastic. I'm going to pray for you right now. So if you want to receive from the Lord today, reach out your hands in faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that the word of God is good, that it's from you to us, and in it we can find gems, miracles, healings, hope, and all that we need to live this life in your tremendous blessing and favor. Help us to receive your word with faith-filled hearts today in Jesus' name, and all those who receive that say amen. I'm going to set a story up for you first, but all of us want something, right? You know, you want something? Yeah, good. Hey, if you're new here and you don't yell at me, I'm not going to preach as good, okay? You need to yell at me and, you know, and say yes and amen, and that's good. I preach better when there's unity. I preach better when you do it with me, when it's not just, hey, perform up there, dude, and, hey, you know, entertain me. No. I want you involved in this sermon. Can you be involved in the sermon with me, church?
Yeah.
Awesome. Right? A few weeks back, I preached a sermon series, actually, about why people won't pray and ask God for anything. And it's often because people don't think that they deserve the attention of a holy God. And so they think that they don't have the right to want anything from Him. And all that stems from this crazy notion that we are unrighteous and we are undeserving. But church, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if the word of God is true, then we are righteous. We didn't earn it. We didn't create our righteousness. We certainly didn't behave our way to righteousness, did we? No. But Scripture says that we are now the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. See, that's really good news for you, because the righteous deserve the attention of the Father. Amen? The righteous have the attention of the Father. The righteous are allowed to want, allowed to pray, allowed to ask, and will receive from God. And all of us have something that we want God to do in our lives, and all of us want God to do something more than anything else on this planet. So, church, who is the righteousness of God? Someone say, I am. That's right. You are the righteousness of God. And we all want things. We all have things that we want God to do. But we all have that one thing. Just one thing that we want more than anything else on earth. Don't we? When you look at your life, and you look at the circumstances of your life, whether it be in your employment, in your family, at home, in your heart, in your body, we all have just one thing that we want more than anything else. Some people desperately want a family member to be saved. Some people have been living in chronic pain for years, and they desperately want to live without the pain. They want to jump. They want to dance again. Amen? Some people desperately want to buy a house. They're sick of renting. They're sick of being told what they can and can't do in their own home, and they desperately want to buy a house. And some people are believing that they're going to have a son, that they're going to have a daughter. Some people are desperate to see their sons and daughters worship God and be saved in Jesus' name. Some of you have received one thing, and you're waiting for another thing. Some of us are still desperate for one thing. And today I want to tell you the story of a man who desperately wanted one thing. And after receiving that one thing, he almost lost his most favorite thing. And then God provided a way out. You want to hear that story today? Yeah? It's the story of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were old. Touch a neighbor, say, way older than you. And I know for a fact that everyone in this room told the truth right then, right? They were old, so old. And there was one thing on earth that they wanted more than anything. They wanted to have a son. More than anything else on earth, they wanted to have a son. And they did get their one thing. They did get that son. His name was Isaac. They got their one thing, but it wasn't without failure. It wasn't without messing things up. You can mess things up and still get your one thing. Amen? Yeah. Come on. It wasn't without making mistakes. They were not perfect. They are proof that even in your error, even in your mistakes, God will always do what He promised to do, because God's faithfulness is not dependent on your behavior. It's dependent on His righteousness. Amen? But while they were waiting for the promise, they made a mistake. Sarah tells Abraham, "Yo, Abraham, go sleep with that woman. Maybe we'll get a son that way." Abraham slept with a woman that wasn't his wife. Now, gentlemen, listen to me. If your wife tells you to sleep with another woman, it's a trap. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, "That's a trap." Now, at risk of going against years of old men's advice, she ain't always right. I know. Shock, horror, awe. She ain't always right. I know everybody's been saying that the answer is yes, dear. That wasn't the answer that day. If your wife or your husband tells you to sleep with somebody else, don't do that. Don't do it. These two bozos made an Ishmael while they were waiting for the promised Isaac. They created a problem when they began to doubt God's ability to bring the promise into their lives. But I tell you what, church, today we're not going to be the church that in the middle of doubt we start making Ishmaels. Amen? We're going to be the church that in the middle of doubt we stand firm. You don't need faith when there ain't any doubt. That's just knowledge. Oh, I don't have faith that you're sitting here. I know you are. I can see you. But if the lights were off, I'd have to have faith that it wasn't just an audio recording saying amen. You don't need faith when you know it with all your heart, yeah? Ephesians 6 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And then, after you've stood your ground and after you've done everything that you can to stand firm, stand. Ephesians 6. Because God will always do what He's promised you that He will do. Amen? He will always do what He's promised you that He will do. He is not a man that He should lie. Now let's go hashtag equality. He is not a man or a woman that He should lie, all right? Come on, I'm not saying it's only men that lie in here, dudes. Don't get angry at me, all right? But Scripture says that God is not a man that He should lie. He will do what He's promised He will do in your life. Let's fast forward a little bit. God answers Abraham's and Sarah's prayers, and they have a son. His name is Isaac. He is their most prized prayer. He is their favorite thing, their favorite possession, their favorite person on the planet. There is nothing on earth that they love more than Isaac. Let's pick the story up from Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. It'll be on the screen as well. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am," Abraham replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." What? Come on, just touch your neighbor right now and say, "That's messed up." If you don't think that's messed up, you need to leave. Because I don't want you burning me or my son on an altar anywhere, all right? Picture the one thing that you've prayed your whole life for, or the one thing that you want more than anything else on the planet, and God asks you to give it to him. "Give it to me." You spend your whole life saving up to buy a house, and God says, "Give me that house so I can use it for Teen Challenge." You've wanted that your whole life, and now God's saying, "Give it to me." Now let's get past the whole child sacrifice thing for a moment. Because spoiler alert, God did not want Abraham to kill his son. Yeah? God stops that whole thing from happening. God did not want Abraham to kill his son. I said it again. And this story is in the Word of God, and it shows us that Jesus is the Lamb of God and he has died in our place. Then we can all relate to having something that we love more than anything else, can't we? We can all relate to that. So we can relate to the story from that perspective. And by the way, at this time, many people in the culture were into child sacrifice. And this is what God does to show Abraham that he does not want us to kill children, that he will always provide a way out, and that even though the culture around Abraham was totally okay with it, God was not. So relax, God's not into child sacrifice. And we can move on. Lastly, it shows us that anything that you offer God will be blessed. Anything that you give back to God will be blessed. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's pick it up at verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded up his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance on the third day. Note for another sermon, right? On the third day, we got to see the Son of God. Hallelujah. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Some of you don't even know what just happened just then. "We will go and worship." Who's coming back? "We will come back to you. We will come. Not I will come back to you. We will come back to you. Even if a knife goes through this boy and he's burnt, he will come back to you." Abraham knew that God would provide a way out, verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire. Remember, Jesus carried the cross. He himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide for the lamb. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. He has provided the lamb. It's either you or the lamb he's going to provide, a son or a lamb. Something's going to happen that's going to change all of eternity right now. Amen. God himself will provide the lamb for the offering because you and me are going back to our servants in a little while. Imagine you're Abraham. You're walking what feels like the valley of the shadow of death with your favorite thing. Your favorite thing on earth. And having had the faith to believe for the promise, you now got to believe that God's not going to hurt you, that he's not going to rob you, that he's not going to take this thing from you. You got to stand firm. And having done all you can to stand firm, you need to stand firm and believe that my God is not going to take this most precious thing from me. The only one who comes to steal, kill, destroy, sickness, death, that's the devil. Amen. God's not come to do that. And if you know God, you know his heart. And Abraham knew God and he knew his heart, so he knew God's not going to take my boy. God's going to provide a way out. Verse 9, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. And his son was like, Dad, what the heck are you doing, bro? I added that bit, but I guarantee he said that. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. I can picture this whole thing happening. Now you got to replace the boy. We told you God never wanted the boy to die. God never wanted to harm the boy. You got to replace the boy with the thing you want more than anything on this planet. He's had so much faith. And he saw God provide the promise. He's declared again that God will provide a way out. Right now, he's declared to his servants, we will return, but he still has to pick up the knife. He still has to believe that before the knife hits the promise, the Lord will provide. He didn't have to have faith just for a walk, just for a hike. He had to have faith all the way to the end. Abraham, Abraham, here I am. The loudest and fastest, here I am ever, Abraham replied. Here I am. I rehearsed it. I knew you were going to say that. I didn't doubt you. Oh, good. I knew you were coming. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Church, God loves you and he has not withheld from you his son, his only son. Amen. He sent his only son to die on a cross so that you wouldn't have to be punished for anything that you've done wrong. Amen. Abraham looked up. Oh, the Lord himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Church, listen to me today. There is always going to be a ram in the thicket. The Lord will provide. When you are facing what feels like the end of your promise, you need to stand firm. When it looks like you've been defeated, you need to stand up and say, we will be back. The Lord will provide. You need to be like Abraham and say, yes, God, I will obey you. I will follow you. Even when it feels like you got me running in the opposite direction to the promise, I know that you will provide. Amen. Even when it feels like the promise is to the north, you got me running to the south. I know that the promise must be to the south. I know that the Lord will provide. I know the Lord well enough to know that he will never hurt me. He will never steal from me. He will always provide a way out. I know, God, that there will always be a ram in the thicket. You gotta write that down. There will always be a ram in the thicket. I got some other things for you today. Do you want to hear them? I feel like that was enough, but we got some more, all right? Some other gems. Write this down. But this is where it's going to get a little painful just for a second, all right? You need to understand something. You can be happy without the promise. You can be happy without the promise. Now, I'm not saying you can be happy while you wait for the promise. I'm saying you can be happy without it ever being here. While you wait for the promise, even after you have the promise, the only way for you to be happy is to serve only one God. Only one God. Don't let the promise become your other God. Don't let the desire become more important than the God who gave you the desire. See, Abraham realized that it is God who completes him, not the promise. Abraham was willing, even though he believed that God wouldn't require the promise back from him, he was willing to live without the promise. Kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego while standing in the middle of the fire. They believed that God would honor his promise to keep them alive for a greater purpose. But in the middle of the fire, they declared, our God is able to save us. Our God will save us. But even if he does not, we will not bow down. We can be happy with just God. What are they saying? We believe God wouldn't take this from us, but it's not the promise that we serve. It is God that we serve. We need to be the same, amen. If we're waiting for the promise to make us happy, we'll never be happy because you'll just want another promise. You'll just want something else after that. If you're waiting for a spouse to complete us, you will never be complete. If you're waiting for a child to make you whole, you will never be whole. But if, like Abraham, if we'd be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, my God will provide, but even if he does not, we will find our joy, find our hope, find our happiness in him. He is enough for me. Amen. He will provide a son. He will heal this chronic pain. He will restore my marriage. But even without that, he's enough for me. He's enough for me. He's enough for me. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. He's enough for you. You don't need the promise. You don't need the healing. You don't need the spouse. You have everything you need to be happy in him. Amen. It's not a lack of faith. It's the ultimate faith statement. That God will provide for me. Now, I believe he's going to provide for me like this. But whatever happens, I know that my God will provide for me. Whatever happens, he's going to provide for me. If I cannot be happy with Jesus only, I'll never be happy with Jesus and fill in the blank. It's just true. If you can't be happy with just Jesus, you'll never be happy with Jesus and everything else. But if I can find my joy, my strength, my happiness in him alone, I will find tremendous enrichment and even more joy in what he gives me. Amen. Let's talk about the trial for a second. Firstly, understand we live after that cross, don't we? Yeah? We live after that cross. That story had a purpose for Abraham. It was to bless him. At no point did God want to take the promise away from him. There's story after story after story after story. Are you with me today? There's story after story after story in the Word of God where people done messed it up. And God didn't take the promise away from them. King David, Abraham, Jonah. Hey, Jonah, go preach over there. Heck no, going that way. Still got to go preach over there, and the whole stinking city got saved. Right? He ain't going to take your promise away. He's not going to take it away. But don't let it become your God. I truly believe that the place where we are happy with God alone is right around the corner from the place where God provides the promise. We can still want. Absolutely. We're allowed to want. It's not lust to want things. Good grief. I want lots of things. I do. I want heaps of things. And that's okay. But I don't want any of them more than I want my God. More than I want my Jesus. Amen. See, we can still want things, but we aren't looking to things and people and stuff and jobs to make us whole, are we? If you're living with an obsession with finding a spouse, and if you find that spouse while standing in the place where a spouse is more important to you than following Jesus, it will not bless you. It won't bless you. If you find the perfect job while finding the perfect job has taken more attention than worshiping your God in heaven, finding the perfect job will take you further away from God. If you become richer when you can't even honor God with what He's already given you, you'll never ever honor Him with the wealth, and you risk falling in love with money, and that will bring horrible evil into your life and it will hurt you. If we fall more in love with created things, we miss out on the fullness of a relationship with the one who created all things for us. He already created it all for you. Don't let the one thing that you want more than anything on earth become the one thing you want more than anything in heaven. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. We got to keep ourselves in check sometimes. You can be happy right now with only Jesus. Come on, this is good for you. Don't worry, the promise is coming, okay? The promise is coming. He's not taking the promise from you. I'm not trying to take the promise from you, all right? That's not what this is about. This is about making sure that you find yourself in the place where the promise is around the corner, and that place is when Jesus is enough for you. You can be happy right now with just Jesus. But there's another angle I want to talk about for a moment. Maybe you're waiting for the promise. And you do want Jesus more than anything on earth or in heaven. And you are serving the Lord, but something got in the way. It's not you. Not right now, anyway. Something is trying to steal the promise. And I know I already said that God is not wanting to take good things from you. God is not robbing you of your promise. He is the God who always provides. Jesus said that it's the devil who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Not God, not Jesus. In this story, the devil came with temptation and sin earlier on when Abraham slept with another woman. And I want to tell you right now that if the devil has come to steal the promise from you, if the devil is coming after your most prized possession, if the devil is coming after your family, there is a ram in the thicket. If you feel like the devil is coming after you, there's a savior in the bush. There's a sacrifice to be had in your place. Maybe like Abraham, maybe you are the one that screwed things up. Maybe you slept with the wrong woman or the wrong man. Maybe you stole something that wasn't yours. Maybe you said something awful to somebody. Maybe you are the reason that everything is falling apart. The ram in the thicket is your way out. The ram in the thicket is Jesus Christ. Amen. He has come to die on the altar so that you and your promise don't have to die. So if the devil comes after you, you tell him that another one has already come. He's already come and paid the price for my mistakes, for my sin. Jesus has already come to give me life and life abundantly. And the abundantly includes the promise, by the way. And He is my way out of this mess. There is a ram in the thicket. There is a ram in the thicket. Come on, church, would you stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that today? Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Just when it looks like I've done messed up so bad that I'm going to lose my promise, lose my marriage, lose my kids, lose my job, lose my health, lose it all, we hear a voice in heaven yelling out, Jesse, Jesse, Belinda, Belinda, Jed, Jed, Aaron, Aaron, look, there's a ram in the thicket. You've already been forgiven. I've already made a way out for you. If you've screwed up your life, there's a ram in the thicket. If you feel like the devil's coming after your promise, there's a ram in the thicket. If you feel like you've given all you've got left, stand firm. There's a ram in the thicket. The Lord will provide. He always provides. He always makes a way, amen. We're going to open up the front for prayer in just a few minutes. And I know there are people in church today that need prayer. Don't lift up the knife and kill the promise when God's provided a way out for you. There's a few reasons we might lift up the knife and kill our own promise. We refuse to ask God for help. We refuse Him when He says, what can I do and when can I do it? And we just go home instead of going to the altar. When you lift up that knife and kill the promise, when we refuse His help, or when we let shame dictate what we do and do not deserve, so we lower the knife. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You deserve this. You deserve that healing. You deserve that promise. You deserve that son. You deserve that daughter. You deserve that house. You deserve to live without chronic pain, jumping and dancing in Jesus' name. And so when we open up the front for prayer, those who are the righteousness of God in Christ are going to put down that knife and take the way out in Jesus' name. Put down the knife. It's been paid for. There's a ram in the thicket. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you never had a friendship with God, or maybe you've walked away from God, I got great news for you. The most important lesson in this story is that Abraham messed up his life. And there was a consequence that should have happened. But God sent a ram in the place of Abraham's promise and Abraham's life. Now, here's the thing about that. That is actually a picture of Jesus Christ. And so because you've messed up and I've messed up and we've messed up, we're supposed to lose the promise. We're supposed to be punished. We're supposed to go to hell or whatever else. But instead, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sin. He is your way out. There is a ram in the thicket. His name is Jesus Christ, and He wants to bless you. And if you give Him your life today, He will forgive your sin. He will take away your shame. Shame's that thing that'll keep you holding a knife to your own promise. He'll take away the shame. He'll help you understand that you deserve the attention of God in heaven because you have been forgiven, set free, and set up with righteousness, to live the life that God designed for you. Before you were born, God knew you. Scripture actually says, before He formed you in your mother's womb, He had a plan for your life. He knew you. And that plan was not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to bless you, both now and forever. And today I'm asking you to say yes to that plan. You may have messed up. I don't give a crap. All I care about is that today you would invite Jesus Christ, the ram in the thicket, to be your Savior. And the way you do that, Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and y'all will be saved. That's the New American Version. All you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It's not talking about your behavior. His faithfulness isn't dependent on your behavior. It's only dependent on you saying, yep, you can be my ram in the thicket. Yep, you can be my way out. That's it. I've got enough faith to believe that you're the Son of God. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time. And I want you to pray it with me one line at a time. That simple, all right? And as we pray that prayer, we're inviting God to come into our lives and to make us the man or the woman or the boy or the girl that He designed us to be. Amen. So every single person in this place, with a bold voice, I want everyone in the room to pray it so that those who are praying it for the first time or for the first time in a long time, so that they don't feel conspicuous and stand out. So everybody in the room, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross, paid the price for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it. Special. Just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, three things I want you to do really quickly, all right? Number one, I want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. If you text the word SAVED to the number 25827 this week in the mail, you're going to receive a sweet gift from Eternity Church. We are obsessed with generosity, and so we don't just send you crap in the mail. We send you sweet stuff. It's not like swag, you get every stuff we all get. No, this is stuff just you're going to get, all right? And so just text the word SAVE to the number 25827. You'll get a Bible, you'll get a worship CD, you'll get a gift voucher to a sweet coffee shop, and it's going to bless you. So go do that. And the second thing I want you to do is tell somebody what you did today. Tell somebody at home, tell somebody at work, tell somebody on Facebook or Instagram. Say, I gave my life to Jesus, and I know for a fact that from tomorrow onwards, my life is going to be the best that it was designed to be. Amen. Last thing is I want you to tell me that you prayed that prayer. So if everybody could close their eyes, everybody, front to back, right to left. Nobody's looking around, just me and Pastor Sean. That's it. Nobody else is looking around. Just close your eyes. Give people the privacy that they deserve, making the greatest decision of their entire lives. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to count to three. And then I want you to lift up your hand to tell me who you are. When you lift up your hand, we're going to pray for you. That's all. We're not going to come down there and point you out, tell everyone who you are, or anything like that. Just want to pray for you. I'm praying for you here, Pastor Sean at West. If you are here and you prayed that prayer, well, nobody is looking around. On the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three, go. Lift up your hand. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. That's three hands. Anybody else? Four hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, God bless you. You can put your hands down right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for the three or four people that lifted up their hands today. I ask you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. take away their shame, their fear, their hurt. God, shame that comes from past mistakes done to them, done by them, done around them. I ask you to fill their heart, their mind, their soul with faith, with hope, with joy. Like Scripture says, everlasting joy will be theirs right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that from this day forward, they're stepping in to the life that you designed for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to walk off this stage right now. And if you need prayer, the Lord will provide. So come down the front with a heart of faith that says, the Lord will provide. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come and get prayer. God bless you.